Cantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Witch on Wheels by T.R. Cameron, Martha Carr, and Michael Anderley. Narrated by Dina Perlman. Chapter 1. Scarlet Prynne tumbled out of the shimmering portal and landed hard on the grimy concrete of the alley. She winced as pain shot through her shoulder from its impact on the unforgiving ground. A groan escaped her lips as she pushed herself to a sitting position and looked around in bewilderment. There was no sign of the magical rift back to Aura Saren or her homeworld. The last thing she remembered was her brother Brant accidentally knocking her wand from her hand before he kicked her through the mystical opening with an enraged shout. Her taunts, intended as play, had drawn emotional blood. Now she was alone in a dark, trash-strewn alley, surrounded by towering buildings that blocked out the night sky. Even without the stars as a reference, she knew she was somewhere she'd never been. She got to her feet and flexed her bruised shoulder. The alley was empty except for several overflowing dumpsters and a mangy stray cat pawing through a spilled garbage bag. Scarlet's boots crunched on broken glass and debris as she moved toward the alley mouth, and she emerged from between the buildings onto a wide street, bustling with people and fast-moving vehicles. Her eyes widened as she tried to take in the dazzling lights and immense skyscrapers around her. This was nothing like Aura Saren, and equally unlike the place she traveled to during her one previous visit to Earth. Huge glowing signs advertised gambling and entertainment, while sleek cars whooshed down the multi-lane streets, some without drivers at the wheel. Men and women wore everything from expensive formal attire to ripped jeans and T-shirts with odd images. Others were in costumes that ranged from cartoon characters to aliens, while still more sported leather, spikes, and chains. Her black denim jeans, matching T-shirt and leather jacket, were notably boring in comparison. After the initial shock wore off, a smile spread across Scarlet's face. She had always loved exploring new places, and her natural curiosity quickly transformed her caution and wariness into excitement. She started moving again and drank in the sights and sounds with fascination as she traveled along the sidewalk. Electronic displays, larger than any she'd ever seen, touted shows and entertainment she had never imagined. Hidden speakers poured out everything from booming music to enticements to try one's luck in the casinos. She watched in amazement as a sleek tram whooshed by on a track high above the street. In places, technology combined with magic to create more fascinating displays. Scarlet reached into her right boot and extracted the slim backup wand concealed there. She had carried it since childhood, and though it lacked the power of her primary wand, it was now her only source of magic in this strange city. She pushed away the dark red hair that had fallen over her face as she straightened and tucked the wand up her sleeve for easy access. Its familiar smooth wood against her forearm brought some small comfort. After a few blocks spent carefully avoiding the loud drunks and raucous crowds spilling out of casinos, sounds from a nearby alley summoned a frown to her lips. She slowed and cautiously peered around the corner into a poorly lit corridor between buildings. A gang of six scruffy, rough-looking men had cornered a terrified young woman against a brick wall covered in graffiti. Their ripped jeans, chains, and matching black T-shirts gave the impression that they were part of a larger gang. The target of their attention pressed her back against the wall as if trying to melt into it to escape. Her gasped breaths were another sign of her fear. She looked far from home in her oversized embroidered dress shirt, flowing ankle-length brown skirt and sandals, likely a tourist who had chosen an unfortunate shortcut back to her hotel. "Well, well, what do we have here?" one sneered, flashing a glittering switchblade. He had tribal facial tattoos and a messy blue mohawk. The young woman whispered, "Please, just take my money and let me go." A round of mocking laughter met her plea. Scarlet's temper flared at the scene playing out before her. She slid her wand from her sleeve into her left hand, stepped around the corner, and cleared her throat at a volume impossible to miss. They turned to face her, and she barked, "Let her go!" pointing her wand at the head of the thug who had threatened the woman with his knife. The men gaped at Scarlet in surprise, then burst out laughing when they saw the slim piece of wood in her hand, which, to be fair, didn't look much like a real wand.
"Or what? You'll poke us?"
the leader chuckled. "Take that thing away from her, boys, and we'll have twice the fun." Scarlet centered her weight in a back stance and raised her free hand into a defensive position as two men charged at her. The sloppy, unrestrained nature of their moves communicated that they were street fighters rather than trained warriors. The first one swung a wild, telegraphed punch at her head. She neatly sidestepped the blow and drove the heel of her palm up into his nose with a nasty crunch. He staggered back with a howl as blood poured down his face. Before the second man could react, Scarlet swept his legs out from under him with a crouching backspin and sent him crashing down hard onto his back. The impact drove the air from his lungs in a pained wheeze. She stomped on his chest before he could rise and felt bones crack. Behind her, the gang's prospective victim's running footsteps faded as she fled to safety. Scarlet offered the remaining four men a lazy smile.
"How about we call it a day, losers?"
The leader snarled. "You're in for more pain than you've ever experienced, wench." This time they all advanced together with appropriate caution. She fought them off with the smooth, economical movements drilled into her through years of training from her father and other teachers back on Orisaran. She delivered each punch, kick, and jab with flawless technique to precise targets, throat, temple, and knee. One man crumpled to the ground, clutching his bruised windpipe after an elbow strike. She could have done real damage, but had no desire to kill if she could avoid it. Another staggered and fell after she delivered a brutal kick to his knee that left the joint bent at an unnatural angle. The remaining pair looked for a moment like they'd be smart and run, but an exchanged glance resulted in a new commitment to the fight. She shook her head. "I guess brains aren't a fundamental requirement in your group, huh?" The duo produced weapons. The one on her left pulled a metal pipe from behind him, and the leader drew a second knife larger than the switchblade.
"All right, it's been fun, but I need to be moseying along."
Scarlet waved her backup wand to summon a defensive force barrier in front of them, but generated only a few weak sparks. Her inner voice commented, "Well, that's not good." Seeing the failure of her magic, the leader laughed.
"Is your wand broken, witchling?"
The pair responded to her apparent vulnerability with a coordinated attack. Scarlet was forced on the defensive, dodging and deflecting frantically, without the aid of her wand to even the odds. With a loud snarl, the cat that had hidden under a dumpster at the start of the fight made its dash for freedom. She instinctively avoided stepping on it as it scurried between her legs, but the distraction cost her. A brutal kick to her midsection drove the air from Scarlet's lungs and brought her to one knee as she gasped desperately to refill them. She kept her hands ready for the blows she knew would be coming, but they failed to materialize. A deep voice called,
"What have you got there?"
The leader responded with a wicked laugh.
"Fresh meat!"
Scarlet looked up and saw that four more men in similar clothes had entered the alley. She forced herself to her feet with a groan, set her stance, and smiled.
"You're the meat. I'm the grinder."
Before they could reply, she attacked. Chapter 2. Scarlet dashed to engage the newcomers first. She suspected they would share their fellow's arrogance and underestimate the threat she posed. She drove a brutal elbow into the face of one assailant, while simultaneously spinning backward to land her heel against the kneecap of another. Her first foe howled in pain as blood gushed from his broken nose and staggered back, lifting his hands too late to protect his damaged face. The second thug crumpled to the ground with a shriek,
his leg bent at an unnatural angle from a shattered kneecap. Scarlet pressed her advantage and engaged the other new arrivals, since any delay might allow them to surround her. The first shuffled forward in a boxer's stance and snapped a punch at her face. She bobbed sideways to avoid it, into a punch from the other one. The blow drove her backward a few steps, and the pain focused her mind. She snapped a hand up to grab the man's wrist before he could recover from his follow-through. With a deft twist, she snapped it, then used the limb as a lever to propel him into the wall. He hit hard and slumped to the ground. The boxer came in from her blind side, but the scrape of his shoe alerted her, and she was ready for him. She sidestepped and lashed out with a side kick that caught him in the ribs. He staggered back and she threw a right fist at his face. He blocked it but gasped as the broken rib moved. She hammered a knee up into the damaged section. He fell to the ground, stunned or unconscious. That left the four new men on the ground, with four from the original bunch and two standing, their weapons held less confidently than a few moments before. Scarlet turned to face them as her lips curved into a predatory smile.
"Who's next on the list?"
The leader with a face tattoo snarled. "You're not walking away from this, witch. You've been cut." He nodded at the blood dripping from the slice across her wrist. "We'll carve you up nice and slow." Scarlet glanced down indifferently at the stinging wound. She had no idea when she'd received it, but it wasn't nasty enough to require stitches. A healing potion would have taken care of it in an instant if she'd had one. Her gaze returned to the man as she shrugged.
"Just a love tap.
Although I guess you boys have to take your wins where you can get them, however small they might be." The other sneered and gestured at the ground in front of him with the pipe in his grip.
"Why don't you take a few steps forward and we'll show you what real pain feels like?"
"Why don't you pucker up and kiss my—" Scarlet began, but a sudden blur of motion from the fire escape above distracted her and her foes. A sleek black Abyssinian cat launched himself from the metal platform with his claws fully extended. He raked them brutally across the knife-wielder's face. The man's hands flew up to clutch the deep furrows torn through his skin as he lurched into a panicked run. He made it only a few steps before the cat darted into his path at the perfect moment and caused him to trip. His head hit the ground hard. Scarlet didn't waste the opportunity. She skipped forward and channeled her momentum to drive a fist deep into the belly of the other thug. He wheezed as the air exploded from his lungs and the pipe tumbled from his grip. As he folded over, she brought her clasped hands down in a hammer strike that landed between his shoulder blades. He sprawled face first on the ground with a moan. Scarlet turned to the cat and discovered him staring at her. There was something predatory in his eyes, like he thought she might be tasty. She raised her hands.
"Whoa there! While I'm happy to try to feed you, I'm not interested in being your food, so to speak. I appreciate the help with those chuckleheads."
The Abyssinian sat back on his haunches, wrapped his tail neatly around his feet, and fixed his vivid green eyes on hers. Then he tilted his head as if listening and flicked an ear in irritation. Before she could say anything further, the cat glanced sideways at two thugs who had begun to stir. His eyes flashed emerald, and small arcs of magical energy leapt from his tail to strike them both. The bolts sizzled as they connected and dispatched the men back into dreamland. Scarlet blinked in surprise. She had never seen a familiar manifest offensive magic in the absence of its magical partner. To be fair, she'd never seen a familiar, but she'd never read about one acting this way. She opened her mouth to ask what was going on, but snapped it shut again as the Abyssinian meowed and looked at her expectantly. When she didn't respond, a feather touch of magic poked at her mind. The meow had transformed into understandable words when he made the noise again.
"Took you long enough. I thought I was going to have to lick these fools to death."
The cat's voice was sarcastic and amused. The complete unexpectedness of the words and a talking cat speaking them made her laugh.
My apologies for keeping you waiting. I'm Scarlet. And you are?
Runeclaw, he replied, matter-of-factly. She raised an eyebrow.
You named yourself Runeclaw?
The cat shrugged. It fits. And Patches is far too undignified for an Abyssinian of my caliber.
Patches?
The local who alerted me to your predicament. He owes me 2 mice for this. Runeclaw stood and stretched, back arching. Speaking of which, now that we've dispensed with the trash, want to see if any of these morons have something worth taking?
Scarlet shook her head, still amused at the fact that she was talking to a cat. This was turning out to be the weirdest day of her life. Her inner voice reminded her, weirdest day so far.
She ignored it and replied to the feline, I try to avoid theft when I can.
Runeclaw's eyes glinted with amusement.
Commendable principles for an Oriseran witch who fell through a portal into a Las Vegas alleyway. But not all that practical given your malfunctioning wand. But suit yourself.
He leapt lightly to the shoulder of the nearest thug and pawed at his clothes.
Scarlet scowled at the reminder and retrieved the wand she'd dropped. A quick examination confirmed it was undamaged, and she slipped it back into the thin holder sewn inside her jacket's sleeve. She watched Runeclaw's search for a few moments before conceding he had a point. She moved to the leader's unconscious form and rifled through his pockets. She found another switchblade, which she flicked open and eyed appreciatively before tucking it into her jacket pocket. His wallet yielded a few bills, which joined the knife. Search completed, she glanced at the cat.
Find anything good over there?
Runeclaw looked up from batting something small and rectangular back and forth between his paws.
This device is important. Everyone has one. I believe you tap it with your paw.
Finger.
To get it to do tricks.
Scarlet crossed over to pick up the device. She realized it was a mobile phone, although far more advanced-looking than the one she'd seen during her only other visit to Earth. She recalled how the one she'd seen during her prior visit had worked. Cradling it in one hand, she reached down with the other to turn the head of the tattooed man so the camera could see his face straight on. After a moment, the screen blinked to a colorful display showing rows of icons.
Excellent! Runeclaw purred, peering over her shoulder. You must have the magic touch.
Scarlet smiled wryly as she scrolled through screens full of apps. More like fast learner. The principles are similar to some Oriseran spell locks. Her thumb paused as she came to one bearing the symbol of a car.
Hello. I think this might get us some transportation.
Runeclaw's ears perked up with interest.
Tap it!
She did, and the display changed to a map with a blinking pin, showing their location. A message appeared. Driverless car inbound. Scarlet was relieved that her guess had been accurate. She liked technology, but was only versed in those devices that also involved magic.
Well, it appears we'll be traveling in style.
After changing the facial recognition and password, she stowed the phone in her pocket. She confirmed the other fallen men still seemed stable, if unlikely to stand any time soon, and relieved them of their money. None appeared to be in danger of dying from the beating they'd earned, and she delivered. Satisfied, she turned her steps toward the alley entrance.
Shall we?
The cat bounded to her side.
With pleasure. It's always enjoyable to see fresh eyes experiencing the delights of Vegas.
A few minutes later, a sleek, dusky, red driverless car rolled up outside the alley. The rear door swung open, and Runeclaw leapt gracefully into the spotless back seat. Scarlet slid in after him, and the door softly clicked shut behind her. As the car pulled smoothly away, she swiped open the phone again and studied it.
"I don't suppose you'd care to provide some suggestions for our destination?"
Runeclaw made a thoughtful sound.
"Since you seem new in town, I presume you have no lodgings."
At Scarlet's headshake, he continued,
"In that case, might I suggest heading east? I sense an imbalance in the magical flows in that direction that bears investigating."
Scarlet considered that for a moment as she watched the amazing lights of the city flash by outside the windows. This world seemed full of wonders, but she knew little of its darker places and dangers. Still, she had rarely resisted the call of adventure, and her family had always been the first to step up to the line to defend their community. If an imbalance existed, she would step up to deal with it.
"East it is. I should probably warn you that my family likes to say I'm a troublemaker.
The way it works is that trouble finds me, like tonight."
"You intervene to help someone. That's not trouble. That's being a good person."
"And you intervene to help me, which makes you a good person, too."
She hoped he hadn't noticed the slight hesitation before she said person. Her mind had stuttered unintentionally. Scarlet was captivated by the passing scenery. She shook her head in amazement as they drove past a glowing 20-foot-tall holographic gorilla beating its chest before climbing a virtual skyscraper. This part of Earth was far more advanced than the one her teacher had briefly brought her to years ago. The thought of her family inspired a flash of annoyance at her brother for kicking her through the portal, then a gasp at her stupidity for leaving the location so quickly. He might have opened it again to look for her. She scowled and thought, "Then again, he might not have. Probably considers it a teaching moment, or something that builds character. Jerk." She settled back against the comfortable leather of the seat. Pressure against her leg caused her to look down and see Runeclaw lying against her. She set one hand on his back and petted him gently. He wriggled to invite more, and she made herself useful as a cat masseuse as she stared out the window and watched the lights go by. They were heading east, and she'd find trouble there if things stayed true to form, or it would find her. Chapter 3. Sometime later, Scarlet and Runeclaw exited the car on the outskirts of Rachel, Nevada. She'd fallen asleep and lost track. It rolled away as they examined the town ahead, at least as much of it as they could see in the early morning darkness. The small town had a sparse scattering of buildings, currently darkened and ominous. Their occupants slept the peace of people who had not had to defend themselves from a street gang in an unfamiliar city on a planet that wasn't theirs. A single light blinked yellow at the deserted intersection. In the distance, a glow backlit some of the buildings. Scarlet inhaled the cool night air, the feel of the place so different from the neon lights and noise of Las Vegas, much more like what she was used to. The dark sky glittered with a spill of stars unmarred by the city's glow. What muted lights were aglow were almost lost against the desert stretching in all directions. A dog barked in the distance, but otherwise an eerie quiet prevailed. Runeclaw sat with his tail wrapped neatly around his paws and glanced up at Scarlet.
"Shall we find lodgings for the night, or would you prefer to sleep in the dirt?"
He looked her up and down.
"Would that be more like what you're used to?"
Scarlet let out a soft snort. "Are you rude because you're a cat, or because you can talk?" She answered her own question. "Both, I bet. To answer your question, I could use some rest, and I need to get this cut cleaned up, both of which argue against sleeping outside. Let's head toward those lights." The pair made their way down the sidewalk. Scarlet matched her steps to Runeclaw's leisurely pace. They passed a general store, a post office, a police station, and a large Quonset hut with a gigantic silver science fiction alien statue in front of it. A large sign nearby announced that they were traveling the extraterrestrial highway, which elicited a smile as the first one she'd spotted during the drive had. Technically, she was an extraterrestrial, so this was a place she belonged. Eventually, Runeclaw stopped at an intersection. His tail twitched as he gazed down a side street.
"I think we'll find a suitable den down this way."
Scarlet followed his gaze to a soft neon sign reading Little Ale Inn, the source of the glow she'd seen before. Below it, a kitschy cartoon alien beckoned visitors. She grinned at her companion. Can't say it lacks personality. An assortment of alien statuettes interspersed with hanging baskets of flowers that flanked the front entrance of the quirky little motel lent the place an eccentric charm. Inside the compact lobby, a middle-aged woman with short brown hair streaked with gray glanced up from the tabloid magazine she was reading behind the front desk. Her name tag read Doris in a cheerful, bubbly font. She offered Scarlet and Runeclaw a warm, welcoming smile as they entered and greeted them with a slight twang.
"Well, hey there, folks. Welcome to the Little Ailey Inn. What can I do for you this evening?"
She checked her watch.
"Well, morning, I guess."
Scarlet returned the expression and hoped the woman wouldn't look too closely at her disheveled appearance.
"I'd like a room for the night, please."
"No problem. We've got vacancies."
Doris fished a key attached to a large plastic alien head from under the counter.
"I'll put you in room 8. It's in a section no one else has booked a room in, so it should be nice and quiet."
Scarlet slid a few bills from the cash she'd taken off the thug across the counter, giving a fake name, since she had no ID.
"That sounds perfect. Thanks."
Doris nodded, then gave Runeclaw a dubious look.
"Sorry, hon, but we have a strict no-pets policy."
She gestured at a sign on the wall stating as much.
"You'll have to make other arrangements for your kitty there."
Scarlet waved an unconcerned hand.
"He's an outdoor stray I befriended. He won't be staying in the room. I'm guessing he'll spend the night hunting, then make me carry him all day tomorrow. He's kind of rude like that."
Runeclaw's eyes glittered with an unsaid retort, but he maintained an innocent posture as Doris considered Scarlet's reply.
"Well, all right then, but he'll need to stay outside."
"Of course."
Scarlet breathed a slight sigh of relief as she accepted the key. No need to cause trouble on their first night. She bid Doris good night and headed toward room 8 with Runeclaw patting at her heels. The room was small but clean, decorated in the same playful alien theme as the rest of the motel. The turquoise walls held outlines of little green aliens and UFOs, while the bedspread featured a print of planets and stars. A plastic flying saucer hung from the ceiling, emitting a soft green glow. A framed print hung above the faux wood dresser, depicting a cartoon alien waving and bearing the motto, "Greetings, Earthlings," in a friendly script.
It was a lot, but it made her smile.
Runeclaw prowled the room, bedded curiously at a lamp cord, and leapt onto the other bed. He circled a few times before sitting again and staring at her. As much as Scarlet wanted to collapse into sleep, she had things to do first. She drew the backup wand from her sleeve and checked it again, more closely, for damage from the fight. Finding none, she took a deep breath and focused her intention. Drawing a precise shape in the air, she spoke the words to create a verbal connection to her mother. Her wand glowed for a brief moment, sparking hope. Then the spell sputtered out. She cursed under her breath. She'd hoped the wand could channel enough power to reach someone at home, but it couldn't. Until she could find a way to boost the wand's magic, she was cut off from communicating with Aura Seren. Then again, there was more than one way to skin that cat. She winced, looked at Runeclaw, and was grateful he couldn't read minds. If she couldn't send a message, maybe she could carry one. Waving her wand in an intricate circle, Scarlet channeled as much energy as she could through it to summon a portal. The growing rift glowed with potential for a few seconds before collapsing inward with a faint pop. Scarlet flopped back down on the bed.
Well, that was a lot of nothing. I hope you won't judge.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?